And as we go to prayer this morning, we do remember the family of Charlie Chupp.
Sunday. It's the one Sunday of the year when John and I wear the same tie. It shows the three wise men following the star. It shows three men who had faith. Who had faith to go off on a long journey when they didn't know where they were going. But they knew what they were following. They were following the star that had been placed in the heavens to guide them to the newborn king. Epiphany is more than the Sunday when John and I wear the same tie. It's more than the Sunday when the wise men were searching. It is the Sunday when we celebrate that which the wise men found, the babe lying in the manger, and they worshiped him because of their faith. Because of what they had found. Epiphany is also the time when we celebrate those moments in our lives when God is truly with us.
Their way.
This morning our scripture lesson is Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child that has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen and its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is Epiphany Sunday, as Putt just spoke of. We remember the Magi as they encounter Jesus. I find it interesting that this event is included in the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew has been considered by most scholars to be the most Jewish of the Gospel accounts. You will recall at the very beginning, most of us, if we're totally honest, probably skipped the first chapter because of the who's related to who. But Matthew goes to great lengths to show the connections in the Jewish history of Jesus being the Messiah. It's the most Jewish of the accounts by most scholars. But the Magi weren't Jewish. They, to my knowledge, were not familiar with the Torah. They were astrologers. And the Jewish people considered such to be pagans. So though the pagan astrologers did not fully comprehend whom they were searching for, God used what they were familiar with as the mechanism through which at the very beginning of the story, earthly story of Jesus, God was announcing that the newborn king was for the world. And again, this is recorded in the most Jewish of the gospel accounts. Entering the beginning of 2020, the account of the Magi led me to a few thoughts that I just offered to you this morning. First, I hope in 2020 to be used by God to recognize and assist someone who is searching for Jesus, whether or not that person really realizes what they're searching for in the moment. You know, some people sometimes are searching, they're searching for Jesus, but in the moment, they can't tell you that's what they're searching for. I pray for God to give me the wisdom to recognize that. And I pray that God gives me the wisdom to realize that sometimes people's path to Jesus is not what I would recommend, is not what I would necessarily expect, might not even be in a method that I like. The Magi knew by the time they got to Bethlehem that they were searching for the King of the Jews, but I'm not convinced they knew that they were really looking for the Messiah as we know him. These pagan astrologers saw a star, and they knew the star announced the birth of a special king, and so they followed it. Eventually, they encountered the Christ child. Everybody doesn't come to Jesus through revival meetings. Everybody doesn't come to Jesus in the way that I came to Jesus. I once took an evangelism course, and another eye-opening statement that Dr. Morris made to me, he says, we need to be careful in our evangelism that we don't try to pigeonhole everybody into the method that we came to Jesus, because however we came to Jesus is the way we think everybody ought to come to Jesus, but everybody don't come to Jesus in the same way. So I hope and pray that in 2020, even though it might not be a method that I even care for, that God will give me the wisdom to recognize when someone is searching for Jesus, and then to give me the further wisdom in how to lead them. Because once again, one size approach doesn't fit all. I pray that God will first give me the wisdom to see when people are searching, and then if I recognize through the Holy Spirit that someone is searching, the wisdom of the method for them to come to Jesus. Secondly, I hope we will not be too hard on ourselves in 2020. What I mean is, who knows what 2020 has in store? I hope no one else in our congregation has to face crisis or tragedy or sadness this year. But if we do, I hope and pray that we are able to allow the Spirit to minister to us. I have done some things to myself that I try to help others not do to themselves. I hope and pray that we do not chastise ourselves if we're facing struggle, if we're facing crisis, particularly if we face tragedy. I hope we do not chastise ourselves if we have trouble feeling Jesus in the midst of the pain. Sometimes life is dark. And sometimes, to be quite honest, I've been in places where I did not feel Jesus. But hey, I'm a preacher. I better not tell anybody that. I hope and pray that if we find ourselves in a place where we do not feel Jesus, that we don't chastise ourselves, because the truth is, I don't have to feel Jesus for Jesus to be present. And I hope I can remind myself that yes, even though Jesus, I don't feel you right now, I'm looking forward to when I do again, I know you're here. But if I don't feel Jesus, I hope I don't chastise myself, because I have. And I hope the same for you. If you find yourself in a situation where you don't feel Jesus, don't chastise yourself. For even if you don't feel Jesus, Jesus is there. I hope we don't chastise ourselves if we don't feel like we think we should feel in the midst of the struggle. This is John's opinion. If we were in a Sunday school class or a Bible study, you would have a chance to debate me. I'm glad we don't in the middle of the service. But I think one of the most unhealthy things we do to ourselves as Christians is to ignore our emotions and how we feel in the midst of a situation. I'm a Christian, I should feel such and such. I'm a Christian, I should feel all hopeful no matter what's going on. I'm a Christian, I should feel so joyful even though the world's nuts around me. And the reality is, sometimes in my private moments, I don't. Sometimes in my private moments, I don't feel all that hopeful when things are going south. Sometimes in my private moments, I don't feel all joyful. I don't feel like doing a hop in a skip when my life is going sour. And then I exacerbate it by chastising myself for not feeling the way I think I should be feeling. And then when I exacerbate that, then it just makes it even worse. Sometimes we're not going to, if we find ourselves in crisis, struggle, or tragedy, we're probably not going to feel the way we think we should feel. Jesus hasn't left you. So if you don't feel the way you think you should feel, Jesus is still there. I hope we don't make it worse by chastising ourselves. In short, let us not get so hung up on doing what we think looks like a Christian approach should be to the point that we don't relate to Jesus in an honest way. For it's in relating to Jesus in an honest way that healing can take place. That healing of our spirits and healing of our emotions can occur. You see, God met the Magi where they were. And He spoke to them through a mechanism they understood. Stars. Meeting them where they were and speaking to them in a mechanism they understood, He brought them. God brought them to Jesus. Jesus will always meet you where you are. And if we leave our hearts open to receive it, God will always then guide us to where we need to be. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. As we live out this next year, God may determine that we need to go down some different roads. That changes. Need to be made in our lives. The different road God calls us down to may be our attitude. It may be our attitude about ourselves. May be our attitude toward other individuals. May be our attitudes toward other groups. May be our attitudes toward situations. But God may say, you need to go down a different road. The different road may be doing something good that we presently are not doing. That's going to differ according to the individual. But He may say, you've got the talent, you've got the time, you've got the resources to do this. God may be calling us down a different road of doing some good we're presently not doing. God may call us down a different road of stopping that which is either not helpful or even sinful. So I urge us all to be open to the Spirit's leading. as God may lead us down some different roads, but if we follow God leading us down those different roads, God will be drawing us closer and closer to Jesus and peace-filled lives, regardless of the happiness or sadness of any given moment. We are guided in perplexing situations to take us to the place where we more completely fulfill God's will in our lives. So as we appropriately begin the new year in the life of the church with the celebration of Holy Communion, we are reminded that Jesus may be guiding others to Himself, though their journey may look strange to us. Jesus always meets us where we are and guides us to a fuller recognition of His presence. And Jesus may lead us down some different roads, but if we're being led down that road by Jesus, that road is always bringing us closer to Him. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as we have entered into this new year, obviously we don't know what that year holds. But Lord, we know that whatever this year holds, be it happy, be it sad, You're there. Lord, we hope that we always feel Your presence. But if we don't, help us to remember that You're there regardless of how we feel. We hope that we always feel the way we think a Christian should feel in a situation, but if we don't, remind us You love us and You're there and You're still drawing us to Yourself. And Lord, we may need to make some changes in our lives that You may show us along the way. Help our spirits and our hearts to be open so that if You do lead us down a different road, we follow. In going down that different road, we find ourselves closer to You. As we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, remind us again of Your presence with us, regardless of what we find in this year, that joy or sorrow, happiness or sadness, You are there and You are bringing us and guiding us to Yourself. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.